We've had many international celebrities and stars on this program and some very distinguished visitors, but I doubt if anyone has had quite the international reputation of our guest of this evening, Chico Marx. We're very proud to have you on our broadcast of Stage Door, Mr. Marx.
Never mind that, Mr. Marx, John. Just Chico will do.
Righto, Chico. Thanks very much. But I must tell you how proud our listeners will be that you've spared your valuable time to have a word with us. In your entertaining work, which would you rather do?
They've all got some good about them. Of course, in radio, it's a very nice work, but after you do a broadcast, it's completely forgotten. On the stage, well, it's nice to get and to work to a live audience as well. But when you make a picture and you make a good one, why, it just lives a long time.
And regarding the actual work itself, which is more pleasant, theater or films?
Well, in the theater, you have to work every night, sometimes every matinee, sometimes two matinees. When you make a film, why, you just work from 9 in the morning till about 5 in the afternoon, and then you're through.
And these situations which you use in your films, do you try them out on audiences to get an audience reaction?
We have in some of our pictures, some of them where we think they need it, like A Night at the Opera, we went out and tried out the gags on an audience, and we usually have the authors mark down how long a laugh is and which they laugh at and what they don't laugh at, and we take out what is we think is no good and what is good we leave in. And then there's another very important thing. When you have a real good joke and the audience laughs, if you don't know how long an audience is going to laugh or approximately, why then you keep on talking and you talk over a laugh. But when you time them first and you know just what's coming, why you can be ready for that laugh.
Yes, I see now why there are those pauses in films. It's far more worked out than I imagined. And regarding your start, you started off as a stage performer, didn't you?
Yes.
How early?
Oh, don't go back that far. Yeah.
Well, did you start off singly?
Well, I started out as a songwriter. My brother Groucho, when he was about 15, was with Gus Edwards Schoolboys and Girls. And then Gummo went in the act, and then Harpo. And after I'd been writing songs for about 3 years, why, I came home, and they asked me to join them, and we joined, and we've been together ever since.
The school act sort of grew up, actually.
That's what it is.
And what form did it take as it grew up? And
well, we enlarged the school act, and then after we did about 30 minutes, we came back 10 years later as to visit our old teacher, and we entertained him, and there we had a chance to do the harp and the piano and songs, and it was sort of a little musical comedy.
And do you hold with this opinion, trainings?
There's no question about it. That's the trouble with our present-day comedians. We don't have enough of them in America for the simple reason there's no place for them to develop. In the old days, you go take an act and you'd play it for maybe a year, 2 years, sometimes even 3 years. And in that time, you would get little bits of businesses and walks and funny uplook of the eye, little eccentricities that you can't get by just going into a nightclub or into pictures.
And this piano, Shooting the Keys, which is one of your highlights, how did that develop?
Well, I was playing the piano one day and I just shot a key and someone started to laugh and I saw the opportunity and I just developed it.
And so a stage opportunity, you perhaps...
Most likely would never have known anything about it.
And I did hear that Iturbe was very intrigued and tried his hand at it.
Well, that was very funny. Iturbe was on a program with me, on a radio program.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching me doing this and he was very intrigued and he said, gee, that looks good. He says, how do you do that? And I started to show him, and for about an hour I kept showing him how to crescendo up and down with the fingers, and he tried it so long till his hands got so sore he had to cancel his concert the following evening.
Serves him right. And regarding your very individual makeups, were they a gradual development?
Well, when we did our first Broadway show, we all went and looked for a new sort of a costume. And there's a place called Guttenberg's in New York where you get costumes, any kind of stage costume. And I went down there and I found this little Italian coat and a little Italian hat, and I had it copied, and that's the costume I've been wearing ever since.
And have you been just duplicating it time after time over all these years?
About 24 years.
About 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Groucho's moustache, which is very characteristic?
He used to wear a sort of an old man makeup, and one day the manager said, "Come on, boys, do a quick act. There's a big crowd out, and we want to get the show over." So he just went on and put on some black for a moustache, and the people laughed at him more than they did in the other character, so he's kept it ever since.
Yes, that's become quite his trademark, as has Harpo's silence. Could you tell us how that silence started?
Well, my uncle Al Sheen, that's of Gallagher and Sheen fame, he was in Chicago, and we decided we wanted a new act. So we sat down, Groucho and I and my uncle, and we started writing this act, and we forgot to write Harpo a part. And when it came to rehearsal, Harpo said, "What am I going to do?" And we said, "Just walk in." Well, he's been walking in ever since.
And what was the first show that you ever did?
First big production was I'll Say She Is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we played that about 2 years. Then we did Coconuts for two, and then we did Animal Crackers.
And it was Coconuts that brought you to the films,
wasn't it? Yeah, a man by the name of Mr. Wanger. We went to see him, and he thought it was a good idea. He was the only one, but we went and did it. We saw Mr. Zucker, and he signed us up, and it was a very, very big hit.
Did you find it a difficult transition from the stage?
No, not too difficult. Very, very easy after a while. Of course, we did it in those days, they didn't have the perfection in studios that they have today. We did ours in a studio in Long Island, the Astoria Studios. Now, today, they have got such wonderful places to make pictures.
I believe that when you did that, you were actually playing the show on the
stage.
That's
right, we were playing the other show. We were playing Animal Crackers while we're making Coconuts.
And that absolutely sold you the idea of films, did it?
That's right.
And what would you say were the highlights among your films?
Well, I would put Coconuts, Animal Crackers, Day of the Races, and Night at the Opera.
And this, of course, Night at the Opera is regarded as the classic of comedy, isn't
it? That's right.
And this appearing on your own, is that a recent development?
Oh, no. A few years ago, I felt I didn't want to hang around, and I wanted to do something. So I went out and I did an act, and it went very well. So every once in a while, when I get sick of golfing too much, I go out and I work a couple of weeks. I have to after playing golf.
Yes, I should think so.
And the horses.
Oh, yes, they're bad too, aren't they? And regarding your films, what hours would you work on the average day on a film?
Start at 9 o'clock sharp and quit at 5.
That's one of your rules.
Yeah, then we discuss the next day's shooting.
Do you find you often have to reshoot a shot?
Oh, yeah. We shot one scene 28 times. And it was a scene that we had rehearsed on the stage and played.
A scene that you'd rehearsed on the stage? And which shot did you use after that 28
takes?
The second one. And what are your future plans now?
Well, I'm going to stay here a couple of more weeks. I'm going to stay an extra week here. And now I find out I'll have a couple of weeks to spare and play in Sydney.
Oh, that's grand, because... Yeah. Judging by the crowds that are coming to see you, it's very necessary that you do extend your season here.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that.
And regarding your film plans and going back to Hollywood?
Well, I'm going back to Hollywood as soon as I get through with the Sydney engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We will start shooting approximately about June the 15th or maybe July the 1st.
Mm-hmm. And what is the name of this film?
The name of the film is Hearts and Diamonds.
And does it deal with jewels or love?
Well, both.
Do you think you might get the girl at the end of the film?
Well, I get her in the first reel. And then I lose her in the second. And then Harpo gets her in the third and loses her in the fourth. Groucho gets her in the fifth. And then the real lover gets her in the sixth. Of course, one reel is enough for me at my age.
But you're still trying. I believe that you're even going to try your hand at football on Sunday.
So they tell me, our
match. So that'll be something to see. It's been grand having you on this stage door broadcast, and we do hope that we'll see lots more of you and your brothers in the films in years to come.
Thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure to talk to the people of Australia.